Hi, this is Jennifer Nanez from Albuquerque, and you are listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Enjoy!
Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast, brought to you by our friends at MyCustomSportsChair.com. Go figure out what you want for your favorite chair with your favorite logo, or even Richard Cote's face. MyCustomSportsChair.com for all your custom sports cherry needs. Adam Minnick here, along with the aforementioned double duty, double shifter, executive producer extraordinaire Richard Cote. Playing a man short again. Lonnie is in parts unknown.
Hold on. Did you just put an executive in front of my name?
You're the most executive producer we have around here.
I mean, that is true. That is true.
I just promoted you just like that.
I guess so.
Change the business card and the letterhead.
Yeah, I got to expense all that back to Lou. Need to get new business cards.
I didn't say it comes with a raise.
No. I didn't. No, just I need to get new business cards and I need to expense that back to Lou.
Yes, you do. Definitely do that. We've got a little bit and a lot going on at the same time, if that makes sense, early in the season. It's an outdoor week. It's an outdoor game week.
It is.
Which... I don't know what it says about the state of the outdoor games that it kind of just crept up on me. or is it because it's happening in Canada? So, you know, it's not real, you know, so it takes longer to get to me because the exchange rate, I don't know. But, that was going to lead the show today. Until yesterday, we get gambling news in Shane Pinto, a restricted free agent belonging to the Ottawa Senators, is highly restricted now for the next 41 games as he is suspended. According to now, there's late stuff coming out today. This is Friday the 27th. Elliot Friedman is reporting from Sportsnet that his suspension isn't that he gambled on hockey, because that's a no-no. The book comes down you for that. Yep. It's not that he gambled, because you're allowed to do that. Heck, his team literally has jersey helmet sponsorship from a betting company. So irony aside, apparently he gave out his password information or his account information to somebody and they went in and made bets on his account that I'm guessing were on hockey because of the suspension. We're putting pieces together, but that is the latest report, is that somebody, Richard, got in, that he gave his account to somebody, gambled who shouldn't have, in a way you shouldn't do it for hockey playing Shane Pinto.
See, I think Netflix was warning us about this password sharing and account sharing. No. When you're an athlete who has to play by strict rules by a league, and understandably so, they don't want you betting on games that you may have an impact on because you could potentially throw the game or you can, you know, impact the outcome, and that's just not fair. But sharing your account information to somebody who could do that, that's a horrible look. You need to know the rules of the league, and you need to be even stricter on yourself. You need to be ultra vigilant on what happens with your name attached.
Hey, for take the athlete part out of it. Do you, Richard, have a friend or a spouse that you would trust enough to make bets on your behalf and not just mess with you a little bit at some point with it?
I trust nobody.
Emily,
maybe. I'll trust her to put some money on my behalf. Sure, why not? But just for the pure betting aspect alone, I trust her judgment on that. If it has an impact on my potential career, I mean...
No, I'm just talking. Forget the potential career. I don't know if I would trust a buddy to go make a sports bet if it was legal in Missouri. And let's say that they struck it big and hit, that they wouldn't take the money and totally reinvest it in something dumb within another bet instead of like doing what I would do with keeping some and reinvest. Like, I don't trust anybody with my gambling accounts.
See, here's why I trust Emily. When we go to the casinos, we go play the penny slots, and we just do it for the free drinks. They come by, we'll take the drink, and we're paying like, you know, a few cents every few minutes. We're not big gamblers.
This is a whole nother segment, though. This is a summer pod right waiting to happen right there. Getting into the gambling mind of the Cotes now.
Live from Black Hawk, Colorado.
Well, cue that up for the summer. Okay. I have questions. I have numerous questions about your free drink prowess.
We'll bring her on to talk about that as well.
But yeah, the carelessness of this, like, forget, people are like, oh, you know, gambling, he's, you know, his team is sponsored by a betting company, all that. Here's the thing. Carelessness is definitely something he should be suspended for.
Absolutely. It's sharing your password to your computer, sharing your password to your email. You don't know what people are going to do when they have access to your account. That's a major security breach.
I'm so much on the side as I don't even understand, I don't know my wife's password. She doesn't know mine. We don't get into each other's phone. I don't even know. I know a lot of people, they do the whole tracking thing with I'm like, no, there's certain things that yours are yours and others are others. And you got to be careful. And it's not that I'm hiding it. It's just, I don't know. There's something about it that certain things need to be kept.
I know my wife's passcode to her phone just because I've needed to unlock it to get her directions while she's driving. That's the extent. I don't know her email passwords. I don't need to know that.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to sit 41 games. You know, the interesting thing is, could you have imagined, and now I kind of wish it would have happened, if his rights would have been traded for somebody to another team? Because apparently part of the reason they didn't offer him a contract is they were, it was months ago that an investigation was starting into him, is another reason why they didn't offer him a contract. And also why he, I guess, has been kind of quiet about his restricted free agent contract. Can you imagine if right around that time they would have traded his rights to somebody and given players back?
I feel like that has to be disclosed when you're talking about trading a contract. Be like,
I mean, if it happened right before the investigation started, can you imagine like if it was like a week or two before and there were players traded that were actually helping out? I mean, that would have been fun.
Oh man, there would have been some compensation, additional compensation for that. Cause you now have a guy who can't play half the season.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, the wheel of justice spinning there would have been absolutely crazy. I would think just absolutely nuts. But, So, I mean, I think it's a developing story in the fact now we're going to have to watch the NHLPA and also the league continue to sort out this gambling stuff. I mean, this is something that it's not going to go away.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. And they got to figure this out.
Yeah, we've seen this in other leagues as well. I mean, NFL seems to be the heaviest hit by these sports gambling issues as far as players being either suspended, cut, you know, never to return. Multiple players since, I believe, 2019, when sports betting has been allowed into, you know, major sports here in the United States. We've just seen a lot of athletes in the NFL, a few in the NBA who have fallen victim to this. And I think this is our first in the NHL, at least that we know of.
Big one. First big one,
Right. I mean, this is something that not just hockey needs to figure out, something that all pro sports need to figure out.
Yeah. So it's definitely interesting. Protect your passwords. Don't trust your friends. I don't know. I saw it as news, you know, I didn't understand it yesterday. I was like, gambling's legal. Why is he getting suspended? And they were saying, you know, the whole line is if you bet on hockey, you're going to get the book thrown at you. 41 games isn't the book.
No.
So definitely we knew there was more to the story and we got it. We got it. So we'll see what more comes out about it, but definitely on prohockeynews.com, we will have it. And make sure when you go to prohockeynews.com, you click on a bunch of our friends there, like the Chicago Wolves store. You can get their merchandise. The only independent minor league AHL team. That's right. You can get independent gear now. All their merchandise. No NHL logos on it because they are independent. That's a story to watch this year, too. Chicago Wolves store on the Chicago Wolves website. Check them out. Click on the link to get a nice little discount from your friends at prohockeynews.com. So we're going back outdoors this week, Richard, and I don't think the biggest story is the fact that Calgary and Edmonton in the Battle of Alberta are going outdoors. I think it's the fact that Edmonton's struggling big time, starting the season 1-5-1. We don't know if McDavid's going to play in the game. He did skate at practice today, so potentially he comes back, and we know how bad he'd want to play in the Battle of Alberta outdoors, near freezing temperatures coming. But, you know, they've given up 30 goals in 7 games. They've only scored 17. 1 win in 7 games for who I thought was a team that's going to be battling the Golden Knights for the division.
Right. This has been perplexing me. I mean, even game one against Vancouver, when we first saw Edmonton struggle to start the season, I kind of wrote it off as Vancouver, sure, hot start, one off. And then I think it was last time we met for the first line when we did our picks. And I took a gamble. I was like, you know what? You know, Vancouver played well against Edmonton. Sure, I'll pick different than Adam. I didn't expect to get that one. But I think that, I believe that was their third game of the season. That is when the panic button started. It was, you know, being pressed there in Edmonton. Just not a very productive, not very productive from an offense that is so stacked. And when I say so stacked, I'm, you know, 3 guys who are going to be scoring, but they score big for them. Goaltending we knew was going to be an issue, but at a minus 13 goal differential for a team who scored 200 plus goals last season, you got to wonder if it's, you know, not so much on the ice or if it's, you know, something internal in the locker room that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, the top of their lineup, they're doing what we thought we were going to do. You know, Draisaitl's got 11 points, 4 goals in 7 games. McDavid has got 8 in 5 games. And Hyman's got 7 in 7 games. So they're doing what they're doing. Nugent Hopkins even 6 in 7 games in terms of points. They're getting the scoring. I'd say that they're even going 2 lines deep-ish to start the year. But after that, their bottom 6 has done almost nothing. And I don't know. I haven't watched them enough. I like watching Edmonton when I can flip them on because they are fun, but I haven't watched them enough when I've watched them, I haven't really noticed, is it the blue line or the goaltending? It's definitely both. Mm-hmm. But when you've got goaltenders coming in with an 846 and an 878 save percentage to start the season and, you know, 1 win between them, you know, Skinner and Campbell not pulling their weight. The question is, how quick do you push the panic button in Edmonton?
Well, I think you start pushing it now. Looking at their back to their offensive production, the only team to score less goals to start the season than Edmonton in that division is San Jose. And I think that's probably the only Chicago's scored less in the West.
They've scored less than almost anybody
besides the Sharks.
Besides Washington.
Well, sorry. And the Sharks. I was talking West, but
got it. Okay. Got it. Yeah. Sharks don't count. They're not an NHL team this year.
Exactly. We'll get to them in a second. I'm sure. But I think the panic button needs to be pressed. I think Edmonton needs to figure out, I think top priority is blue line.
I agree. I think it makes their goaltending better. But they're not a team that can rely on goaltending. They're not built that way.
No,
they didn't get their goaltenders to rely on. Exactly. Yeah. They definitely have to shore up their blue line either internally or externally. The reason I say it's not time to push the panic button yet, let's say they win in the outdoor game and they win their next game a couple of days later. They're tied for a playoff spot if the Ducks are cracking and lose 2 in a row. I mean, they're only 4 points out of a playoff spot, which, I mean, we're talking about a playoff spot 7 games in. Right. But, I mean, we're not at we're not at an 0-6-1 start for them. We're not at a we've won 2 games, but we've only scored 13 goals with Ovechkin, you know, in our lineup type situation. So I don't think the panic button yet needs to be pressed, but I think it's I think you've removed the safety above the button, you know, and you're hovering your thumb over it is where we're at with Edmonton. I think that I need one more week before I can say it's panic button time there.
Okay, that's a fair analogy. But I don't know. Like Edmonton was a team that everybody, you know, going into the season, it was kind of penned in. They were going to be the top three in that division. It was going to be Vegas. It was going to be Edmonton, and then plug in number three. The fact that they've had this slow of a start makes me worried for when we get down the stretch here in the next couple of months. Yeah. They have a lot to make up. So I'm pressing that
a lot to make
now.
Up for, but a lot to make up to get where?
Into the top three where we think they're going to be. I think right now playoff spot is not their goal.
Top three, they're not far away, man. They're 4 points away from that.
The
division's getting out of hand already. That's the thing there with what Vegas is doing to start, you know, until Vegas. And here's the thing with Vegas in their history. We haven't seen them go into a long stretch of bad. Like they don't have losing streaks. That's as a franchise. There's no major losing streaks. Them sitting at 7-0 means the division's getting away. But if you look at third place, 7 points for the Kings, 3 for Edmonton. Like I said, they're only 2 wins away. I mean, it's not like that's why I'm not pressing the panic button. Division title, that banner probably starting to go away real quick unless Vegas tanks it at some point. Because they're getting a cushion. But to me, like Edmonton's biggest problem is only one team has given up more goals. Sorry, two teams have given up more goals, you know, in Minnesota and Carolina in the entire league.
Yeah.
You know, but the difference is those two teams are scoring enough where they're 500.
Yeah.
So if you get McDavid back, like I said, hover over the panic button. But I'm not panicking yet because the division's kind of what I expected it to be. In the rest of them. Okay. I don't think Vancouver, you know, I think Vancouver, I talked about it, I think Vancouver would be a dark horse in the division, but you know, Anaheim playing it over their skis, Seattle, I think is a 500 team. I don't put much stock into Calgary. But like I said, Los Angeles and Vegas are the ones that I'd watch out getting separation from.
Oh, so that's
my take.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, fine. San Jose doesn't have a win. They're the only team without a win. 0-6-1. I mean, it's kind of what we expected, right? Nothing surprising about San Jose.
I mean, I thought they would have at least one win, like max one win. I thought they might get one against Nashville. We were talking about this last week during the second line, just you know, our predictions on when they were going to get their first win. Lou put them well into November, and you know, I thought, you know, that game against Nashville. You know, Nashville's not great.
No,
that's a chance for a win with San Jose, especially when they took Colorado to a shootout. I thought, okay, well, you know, they might be able to build upon the success they had in that game. Turns out, no, they learned absolutely nothing from that game. They're still winless. I think they've been outscored. Let's see, like 14-2 since we last talked on the second line going into Carolina tonight.
But here's my question with it. Who do you expect to score for them? Look at their lineup. Where are you going to get goals from?
Shark A passing to Shark B. Maybe I mean,
Tomas Hertl, Anthony Duclair, you know, Philip Zadina and Fabian Zetterlund, not exactly household names in the hockey world. They're leading the team. Only guys with multiple goals.
It's true.
I mean, they've only had 6 guys score a goal in their first 7 games. That tells you, like, but that's the thing. You look up and down their lineup, like, find me a name that you expect to score.
I got none. I mean, Declare maybe. Then he's put a couple in.
Okay. There you go.
That's it. That's all I got. Like, but I fit, like, somebody's got to, like, before we get deep into November, somebody's got to play bad enough against San Jose where they could squeak out a win, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, they'll score eventually,
right?
Get a win eventually. I mean, it's they'll probably get it immediately over some upset team that we're talking about because, you know, we're putting in the universe because that's what we do on this podcast. I mean, at Carolina Friday, at Washington Sunday, there's a team that can't score either.
Exactly. I
mean, that could be an amazing defensive battle right there. Washington hosting Sunday, 5:00 Eastern. get it on your dial. Oh, you know, and then they host Vancouver next Thursday. They got a light week coming up. But I mean, like, that's, I mean, those are all losable at Carolina, at Washington, hosting Vancouver. That's three more lossable games right there.
Yeah.
I mean, then Pittsburgh comes to town, and then Philly comes to town, and then they host Edmonton. So they're going to go on a home stretch here over the next week and a half. But yeah, there's no game you're looking at. I mean, maybe the Washington game really is their best chance to grab a win.
It might be, just looking at their schedule moving forward.
First one to two wins in that game.
Exactly. Because, I mean, yeah, after Washington, Vancouver, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, maybe Edmonton. Maybe they'll get one against Edmonton.
Yeah, that's...
But then, yeah, Vegas, Anaheim, Florida. Yeah, no, they got... Yeah, until the end of next month when they play the Capitals again. Yeah, that's not looking good.
Speaking of the Capitals, Alex Ovechkin only has two goals. Are we worried? Two goals in six games? It took him like 13 shots in one game to get the goal. And that wasn't even, it was on the power play, but it was on a pass across tap, and it wasn't even in his office.
Man.
That got him his first goal of the year. Are we worried?
No. He's going to find ways to score. It's going to take him a little longer to, you know, to get that motor running again, especially on this team.
Well, and that's what I think we're seeing play out is we all expected this team to not be very good. Mm-hmm. And I think it is, he is going to have to generate more of his own scoring maybe than he ever has before.
Oh, absolutely.
He is not blessed with a lineup to feed him an easy spot. Teams can collapse on him, essentially. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. 100%.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's been in the league a long time. He'll figure it out. He'll you know, start stringing those together again. Well, by the time we meet back in mid-December, he'll be, you know, double-digit goals by then, I'm sure.
So, I want to know if you want to apologize to me yet. I, you know, preseason picks, you put the, or was it Jacob that put the stupid rule in of the lowest point, biggest point drop, and we couldn't pick Boston, right?
Yeah.
And I said, this is dumb. If you want to pick Boston, you should pick Boston because that's not the right answer. I mean, they're 6-0-1. They're on their way to breaking last year's record. them in Vegas, man. The pace that they're on, just sign them up.
I'm just waiting for, you know, Boston broke a decades old record last season with 138 points. Yep. Vegas is going to do. They're going to break that. They're going to go like 140 points this season.
Here's the crazy thing about Boston: they're not scoring goals.
Mm-mm.
Like, I mean, their offense is pretty inept right now.
But I mean, this is minus the offense. This is the second half of how they played last year. They got a great blue line, and they have spectacular goaltending.
Oh, their goaltending. Swayman
and Ullmark are just the two best goalie tandem in the league.
Stupid. I mean, 134 and 174 to start the season. Swayman's had a shutout. They're, you know, 957, 937 save percentages. I mean, they're not letting in goals. It's just, and but outside of you've got, what's crazy is I say they're not scoring, yet Pastrnak has 10 goals, or sorry, 10 points.
Right.
Just six goals, you know, goal a game guy right now. And then Marchand has four, and then it kind of spreads out after that. But I mean, it is, you've got a guy with 10 points and six goals, and only 22 goals scored, but they've only given up 11. I mean, like, the goaltending is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal for them. So it makes me wonder, is that going to be like, are we going to watch Boston just eke out three goal games, and they're going to go as far as Swayman and Ullmark take them? Is that the new Bruins?
I think it is, but just looking at the schedule, how they started the season, not exactly the strongest competition. So being 6-0-1 at this point in the season, I don't think it's terribly shocking given the fact that, you know, they have exceptional.
The Blackhawks twice don't scare you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Finishing your season series already.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, they beat the Rangers handily.
Preseason.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That was preseason. But they went on the road and beat LA.
That was a good game. Yes. I'll give them that one.
You know,
but Anaheim, Chicago, Anaheim again, but you know, lost an OT.
Yeah. No, it's what's crazy is they are done with Chicago and Anaheim for the season.
Yep.
Like the scheduling is I always have questions with it. Right. But yeah, I mean, when you look at it, is their biggest test was probably LA and LA. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday night, they've got the Wings. That's a big test. And then they've got Florida.
Yeah.
But once again, both those at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they got Toronto to finish up the homestand. Then they're going, I mean, I think the big test is the 4th and the 6th of November, where they're going to Detroit and Dallas back to back with one day in between. That's a big test. And really their November schedule, I think by Thanksgiving, we'll know what this team is made. Defensively, we'll know if this team is that good or if they were just playing bad offenses, because they've got a big test. Lots of tests coming up in November with the Habs twice. They've got the Islanders. They're going to play the Rangers. Two games coming up with Florida, Tampa, who's no slouch, Buffalo, who they still haven't figured out. It's probably their easiest game of the month is there, counting the San Jose game.
Or Columbus.
You know what? I'm not ready.
But that's after Thanksgiving.
Columbus is
you're mentioning Thanksgiving.
Yeah, up to Thanksgiving, yeah. So I think really the big question for me is this goaltending that amazing? Like, are they a defense first team now?
I'm surprised to hear you ask if that question about their goaltending, given the numbers they put up last season.
Can they do it without an offense behind? Like, I'm not saying they're not phenomenal, and they are, but they put up those numbers last season while scoring over 300 goals, man. It's a lot of pressure off your goaltending when you're scoring 300 times in a season.
Yeah, that's fair. But they're also being tested a lot.
Agreed.
They're still taking the same amount of shots.
I'll have to look at that. I haven't compared the shots per game. Fair. I haven't gone that deep. But I mean, like I said, it's easier to be comfortable in that, I think, when you don't have to worry about letting up a goal to really screw up the game. When your team scores over 300 goals over the season, you know that as long as you don't give up three. And I think there's something with the goalie where if you don't have to be perfect, it's easier to play. And I think, like, to me, it's the Connor Hellebuyck effect in the playoffs. He has to be perfect in the playoffs for that team to advance. He hasn't been in most of the playoff years. I think there's a mentality for a goalie of, I can let up a goal and it's not the end of the world. This year for Swayman and Ullmark, they may not be able to let up two goals in a game and secure a victory.
That's fair.
Because there's no depth in that offense is what we're seeing.
No, not at least. Yeah. It hasn't
so far
shown itself yet. Yeah. You're right. Okay. So. That's a fair assessment, I think. But I think this season we are going to see a transition to a new style of play from the Boston Bruins. It is going to be a lot more defensive and goaltending minded rather than offensive. Let's, you know, hammer the puck and hope for the best.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, it's as long as the goaltending stands up, they'll be great. If not, it's going to get a little hairy. And if things get a little hairy, you just go to Manscaped. You just get those trimmers. Go to Manscaped, PHN20 for the code. Get your discount for your first order of Manscaped. And you could look as smooth as Lou Lafredo's head. Manscaped.com. Baby bottom smooth with their products. Use it other places too. So the 1972 Dolphins are waiting.
They
can't claim that the whole undefeated. So Vegas is the only team that hasn't had a blemish.
Yeah.
Not even an overtime loss. I mean, they're winning 60 minutes every game. Boom. 7 wins.
I mean, we were thinking maybe first night, you know, Stanley Cup hangover, your first game back, you're still a little actual hungover.
Yeah, they said, take your hangover and shove it there, Mr. Cote.
Exactly.
That's what they said. Yeah.
Oh, man. No, they are. They're looking like they're still in postseason form as they, you know, made their way to the Stanley Cup, you know, championship last year. Yeah. And they're doing it in very decisive fashion too. They are, as we were talking about Boston not being able to put in the net. Vegas has very much so been able to do so.
Yeah, they have
to start the season, averaging about four goals a game at this point.
It's good math, man. Way to go. Did it.
Yeah.
Did it.
They did it.
And they've played some teams.
Yeah. Seattle, Dallas, Philly.
They had to go to the peg.
They did.
Yep. They did that. You know, so they've got after what should be an easy game at home on Friday versus the Blackhawks. Saturday they go to LA, which those are always fun games. Mm-hmm. And then they go home for Montreal and Winnipeg next week. I mean, there's winnable games. You know, that LA game will probably be tough. Saturday late night, that'll be a fun one. You know, little hockey late night stuff going on there. But you know, their schedule gets tough after that, where they've got Colorado coming in. They've got to go to Anaheim. They got a couple games with LA, I believe, in November as you look at it. So, you know, they're not going to be undefeated forever, but they've got a pretty, I'd say, average schedule in November to really kind of end. I mean, they can end the division quicker than anybody else, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, much quicker than Colorado, who Colorado having a good start, but Dallas and Winnipeg kind of hanging on. And I think the Central's is a little tougher depth wise. We've talked about than the Pacific, but I mean, could we be calling the Pacific division by Thanksgiving?
I mean, they sweep those divisional games. Absolutely.
Isn't that crazy? Like when is this team ever going to be bad?
I mean, they did remember their season where they'd missed the playoffs. Yeah. Remember that way back.
They were average. They weren't bad.
Back in the infancy of this, of this franchise.
Yeah. Yeah.
that time that they missed the play.
One time that they missed the playoffs because they just weren't good enough as an expansion team.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the struggles they went through.
Yeah. That fan base is just, I mean, can you believe what that fan base has gone through? Just hurtful. I mean, hurtful, you know, they I don't know how they've done it, how they've lived with such a rough go of it in their fan base.
Now they're reaping the rewards. Now it's, I've always been curious about this. Cause I mean, every team has that key piece where, you know, that, you know, if they go down or if they get traded or if they're off that roster, mm-hmm. That team is going to suffer heavily.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is on Vegas. You find the other misfit, plug them in, and it, you know, away they go. call back to season one when they were abandoned misfits.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, yeah. I, still not as good as a bunch of jerks moniker, but yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it. Up and down their lineup, and it's, I mean, Eichel, Nicholas Roy is having a great start to the season. Marc Gessault is doing what you would expect of him. Theodore, Chandler Stephenson stepping up again with dishing the puck out from the middle. William Karlsson, solid. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul Cotter, you know, your third and fourth liners are going in. Ivan Barbashev, after he's left St. Louis, having, you know, two goals in seven games, which is solid for him as a role player. You know, Mark Stone doing Mark Stone things, just being a stalwart back there, throwing the puck all around, you know, doing what he wants. Defenseman keeping the puck out of their net. You know, and I think the biggest thing out of Vegas is they've been disappointed the way Alec Martinez and Braden McNabb have played to start the year, even though McNabb, you know, 4 points plus eight, you hear that he just hasn't played great as good as they expect. I'm like, but what are you talking about? The dude's plus eight.
Right.
But I mean, that's how much they expect out of McCabe. But, you know, Petrangelo hasn't played much. Alec Martinez hasn't played much. So those are names that you kind of counted on not doing it. But good God, yes. Just plug them in.
Whatever system they found out there in Vegas needs to be as closely guarded as possible, because once that gets out, there's big trouble for this team.
And they're all, then they're rotating goalies too. I mean,
yeah,
Aiden. I mean, did we think one was going to take the lead? Well, I guess, but Aiden Hill's won his four games. Logan Thompson's won his four games. They're both above 930.
Yeah.
You know, they're seeing shots. They're making, like, give that front office credit of plug and play. They've really done a hell of a job putting a roster together. It's phenomenal.
It is.
It's absolutely phenomenal.
Fun to watch too.
They are fun to watch. There's a lot of fun hockey to watch in the Western Conference. They're really, like, Western Conference teams, they're almost all of them are fun to watch for different reasons.
Okay.
I think I don't know. I just think Western Conference hockey has been fun this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Eastern Conference, not as much. I mean, it's there are a lot of Eastern Conference teams I won't flip out, like, okay, fine. They're playing, like, yeah, like the Islanders are playing. Yeah. The Devils, like, they're disappointing me, but I want to watch them. You know, yeah. Pittsburgh. Like, you still, I actually went, took my nephew who was in town and my youngest, and we grabbed cheap seats, actually good cheap seats at the last minute when they were in town versus the Blues. You know, watching Crosby and Malkin in person, fun. Letang, fun. You know, Jari, not so much. Binnington, great game. Like, but I mean, like, you know, they're fun to watch. You know, St. Louis has been fun to watch this year, you know, with their goaltending. But yeah, but back on these, like, Washington, like, outside of Ovechkin, like, if he's not on the ice, I'll flip away from that game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who else is interesting on that roster besides Ovechkin and his chase for Gretzky's goal record?
Yeah. And in the Atlantic division, like, no team is, like, Boston draws you in because, you know, they're starting out hot. But, like, Detroit's probably the most fun team to watch. The rest of them, like, Tampa doesn't have much of a story. The Canadians don't have much of a story. Florida's got a little bit of a hangover. The Senators don't look like they're ready. Buffalo, we've seen this before. They're better. Or are they? Well, we'll see. Like, I don't know. To me, the Western races right now, or the teams, are a little more fun to watch early in the season.
Yeah.
More fun hockey out of the Western teams.
Definitely. Races closer in the East.
Yep.
More fun to watch in the West.
Yep. Got to ask you, were you able to grab a little bit of the Frozen Frenzy on Tuesday? Did you?
I was not.
Okay.
Able to grab any of that.
So I watched a bunch of it. Hockey's not a sport for a red zone-esque channel. I didn't think it would be. I know a lot of people are excited about this, and I was like, yeah. Football and baseball are very, very defined scoring opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So for whip-around type, everybody's playing at once, those two sports lend itself. Basketball, hockey, it's too fluid. You don't know when something amazing in terms of scoring is going to happen. Basketball scoring is a lot. You're looking for that amazing score. You don't know when it's going to happen. Hockey, there's no way to predict it. You know, it works overtime and power plays is about the only guarantee. Like, hey, we got to watch these 2 minutes or 5 minutes.
Yeah. The only way I see it work in, like, basketball, and I feel like it works better in basketball than it would in hockey, is when a team's going on, like, a, you know, double digit point run. You turn that on because, you know, a team is scoring a lot. They're pulling away or pulling close to their opponent. You mentioned that hockey is a fast-paced, very fluid game. It doesn't give you those stoppages to alert the viewer, hey, something's happening over here. Even if it was like, you know, they're controlling the puck, you know, in the offensive zone for a minute or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, football, it absolutely works. Red zone, very defined, and you got plenty of time to flip that back on and see what happens.
Yeah, I will vote for not staggering start times and making some terrible local start times, like 7:45 in Calgary. There were some complaints certain start times around because they wanted to stagger them. I hope the NHL doesn't do this again. I don't need all the games on the same night. You know, if you're going to do that, give me the last day of the season or maybe the last weekend of the season before all the playoffs, you know, the second to last weekend of the season.
Yeah.
Type thing on a Saturday where you got a bunch of afternoon games, a bunch of night games, and you kind of do it with like an all day thing.
Yeah.
But with all the game, you know, kind of, yeah, it didn't do it for me. Hockey's not meant for a channel like that. It just doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. I mean, hey, you know what? They tried something new. Kudos to that. But yeah, and I think the experiment was failed, and back to the drawing board on that one.
Two more things we want to get to. One more NHL, and then we'll talk women's hockey. The draft sounds like it's about to be changed. The league sent a memo around. Teams are allowed one vote. Keep it the way it is, where it's the central location, all that, or go to the NFL MLB style, where it's decentralized. We only have one or two people from there, and then everybody's back in the war room. More than half the teams, it's reported, want a decentralized draft. They don't want to have to send everybody to one place. They want war rooms. They want time at you know, in their own facility, especially because it happens right after the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Which I think the whole calendar needs to change, but that, you know, that's a whole different conversation. Yep. Richard, what do you think? I mean, do you like the pageantry of the draft where everybody's on a table on the floor and you see trades could be happening and all that? Or are you good with decentralizing it and kind of going NFL style where all the players are there? And then you just got a couple people from each team.
You know, I might be the outlier when it comes to the casual fan watching sports, but I don't really care about watching the draft. I want to know what happens. I don't care what the drama is behind. Are they going to trade their number one pick? Are they, you know, are they going to trade down, trade up? I don't care. Get it done. Tell me who you got. Move on. Yeah.
A lot of anonymous staffers, you know, we're feeding to the different experts. They love the centralized draft because of networking.
Oh, so, yeah, I can imagine.
I think there's two ways to make the draft better, or two ways to get networking done outside the draft, but B, to make the draft better. I like the decentralized draft, but what I would do is whoever the host city is, make it a fan experience weekend. Bring in the Stanley Cup, bring in like street hockey stuff, bring in a bunch of, make it a fan weekend, almost like they do for the All-Star where they have all the outside activities around the arena and all that.
Yeah.
I would make it fan-centric. So that the host city, whoever it is, their fans are having a lot of fun doing things. Make sure the organization has players there. Do some fun things. NHL, bring legends in. I think that's how you make the draft really cool. Decentralize it. Make it more of a fan fest type thing to celebrate the sport of hockey. What I would do is in the summer as well, and I give the ECHL does this really, really well. I know. And MLB is phenomenal at it with their winter meetings. The MLB winter meetings is all the teams are there. And all the minor league teams and every staffer you could think of goes. I know the ECHL does it. I believe they do it almost every year in Vegas. The NHL needs to do that. Like these GM meetings in the summer, turn one of their summer meetings where it's just like the high end front office, make it the entire league comes. Get your networking there, have all the communications and PR people do their meetings. Like make it a learning experience and get your networking there. Make that what after the draft, after free agency is a couple weeks old, then put it there. Or push back free agency a bit and do it in between the draft and free agency. Cause that's what most teams are complaining about is you get the draft and like 2-3 days later, free agency starts and they want to be home for all that stuff. They don't want to be at the draft. So I get it. Like do something with the calendar there where you get the networking event in the off season, just like baseball's phenomenal at doing it. And in fact, with the amount of NHL teams that are starting to own AHL teams, you could do the NHL and AHL summer meeting extravaganza for all the marketing, then you get so much networking. It'd be good for the game off the ice, in my opinion. And then throw the fan experience in the draft.
Okay. I'm in for it. As long as we get to bring in some legends for the, you know, the fan experience at the draft, have them, you know, play games with the fans or, you know, have a, you know, 3-on-3 legends street hockey tournament.
Yeah. There you go. Good. We solved all the problems of the draft.
We always do.
Done.
We always do.
Man, they should just go to prohockeynews.com more.
They should.
Our podcast needs to go way up. Subscribe. Rate us. Come on, people. Get us up there so things like this can be heard by more of the masses. Finally today, the PWHL. We think we got some stuff leaked out there. Maybe, possibly, could be, potentially, right? This was first reported by DetroitHockey.net, and then Haley Slavin picked it up on The Athletic as well. The PWHL has applied for trademarks for the names Toronto Torch, Montreal Echo, Ottawa Alert, Minnesota Superior, Boston Wicked, and New York Sound. This was after they released their logo, which I will give them credit. They did a good job with the origin story of their logo. It is a W, the outside just, you know, thick, you know, lines for a W, crossed hockey sticks in the middle to make it look like a W, a hockey puck in between them. So W, they wanted a W to stand out for women. And then they broke the logo into six different pieces,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a phenomenal idea. So it goes with the six franchises that they're going to start with. Kind of like their original six is that mm-hmm. that's what it is. So it was, and also to portray that there are six players on the ice at a time.
Oh, I missed that part of it.
Yeah. So pretty cool. Like the, I like the story, yeah. like actually thought went into it. So I'll give them credit. Like the logo, solid with it. The team names, I'm not, some of the old team names are just way better, which they own all. They took all the assets from the previous league.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
I'm sad that the Riveters is not in there. That was my favorite.
That didn't shock me though.
Oh no. I knew
that
it
one
was,
I thought would be, in a, yeah. New York Sound though.
Yeah.
Didn't Philadelphia have a football team or is that their soccer team? That's the Sound. Nashville had the Sounds in AAA baseball.
And there's the Seattle Sounders, but
yeah, I don't love it.
I out of all of those, I think I'm most on board with the Boston Wicked.
Well, it was Philadelphia Soul, I think, is who I'm thinking of, not the Sound. I think that anyway. Boston, yeah, like that is so. Okay. I mean, it's kitschy. What I need to understand more. So Minnesota Superior, we're gonna go to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I need to, and I don't know enough of my Canadian history, obviously. Is the Ottawa Alert for Mounties and all, like they're known for the safety in Ottawa because it's the capital, and I don't know. Don't know. Montreal Echo rings hollow to me. And Toronto Torch is just an alliteration that I just like Minnesota and Boston. Okay. Like leaning in the other four, like New York Sound. I want to know this. Like, are we going train the Sound of Manhattan? I mean, they're also not playing in New York City. They're practicing in one state and playing in another. They're like, I'm not, I mean, come on, PWHL. You could have done better.
I think, I'm sure we will get an explanation as soon as all of these names are finalized. Yeah. But like you said, they're trademark. They've been submitted for trademark. So that doesn't necessarily mean that's what they're going with.
Correct.
They could be throwing people off to protect other assets. But something tells me this is what we're going to end up with. And I'm with you. I would love to hear the explanation from the Canadian side as far as what those names are for. And who knows, there's probably some great historical regional, assets there that will explain it. I don't know about the New York. Maybe I held too much onto the Riveters there. I
do know that Echo is the name of the newest Cirque du Soleil show that has a long run in Montreal. So something has happened in Montreal with Echo, and I didn't go deep enough to be honest there to do that. I don't like Torch in Toronto. I'm more thinking that like Fire and all that is more Calgary based. You know,
yeah. Did they have a major fire in Toronto in their history?
That's Chicago, isn't it?
And Atlanta.
Okay.
But I'm wondering if they did, maybe that's why they're going with the Torch. But I want to see the logos and the jerseys come out before I make a final decision on these names, because if they redeem themselves with just some truly epic uniforms,
fair enough.
I will be forgiven.
Okay. Yep. And like I said, we don't know if these are the names, but there's definitely trademarks being put in there. So could be nicknamey things. Who knows? We'll see in the coming weeks and days here, and follow the website for it. Richard, it's your favorite time.
It is my favorite time. Bangers and Mash, right? Oh, wait, no, that's a second line thing.
Wrong line.
Wrong line. You know, I'm mixing up my days just because I'm double shifting here. It is time for our Bet 99 PHN picks of the week. Last week, should we go over how we did? Because it was...
Yeah, Lonnie didn't pick a winner.
Yeah,
he sucked.
Absolutely did
he
not.
He went over. Yeah, so we'll talk about it. Lonnie went over.
Over five, man. Come on, Lonnie.
Didn't pick a winner.
Yeah. You and I, 3-2. So we're above 500, but still tied for first place. So week two, I'll have a chance to start pulling away from Adam. Got five fresh games for us to pick coming up this Saturday. And if you want to follow along, you can find us on Twitter at PHN Podcast, and you can use the hashtag PHN Picks to submit your picks. Game number one, we have the Kraken at the Panthers. Adam, who you got?
You have nine games to pick from, and we're going with these five.
You got a problem with these ones this week?
I can't say that right away. I don't reveal that right away.
Okay, all right,
if it's a bad game, I make fun of you for it. Seattle, right. Florida, I like. I think Florida does it. I think Florida does it. I like them at home that weekend and that night.
All right. I'm going Seattle. I think they're going to start correcting this funk they started the season on. Start righting that ship. All right. Game number two. Detroit at Boston. I don't know. I kind
of
like
game
this.
Game of the night. That's the game
of the night. Yeah, absolutely.
It is the game of the night. Not even close. Not even total game of the night.
All right.
Yes.
Adam.
I am going to, this may shock people. I think that the streak's over. I think Detroit pulls a big upset on Saturday night in the Garden.
You know what? That sounds about on par for Boston. But, you know, I like the way they're playing. I love that goaltending tandem that they have. Their defense, as we talked about, it's been playing great. I think it's going to be tougher for Detroit to score than it will for Boston. I'm going to take Boston, but, man, this is going to be such a good – it's going to be like a 2-1 game. It's going to be great. All right, game number three, Winnipeg at Montreal.
That is guaranteed the Hockey Night in Canada game of the week, too, on Saturday night. Two Canadian teams going at it in Montreal. Ooh, you know, this is a tough one. I can't completely figure out Montreal. I didn't hold much hope for them, but I'll be – like, Jake Allen has looked good to start the season.
Not too bad.
He's really looked good to start the season. And Winnipeg – they're looking, I mean, they're scoring, which I wasn't sure if they would score. So I'm, this is a tough one for me. I'm not sure which way I want to go. And I want you to pick first because I'm still thinking about this one. I saw it earlier and I still haven't decided.
Okay. I am going to go Montreal. Everything, you know, every bone in my body is saying no, but that's because, you know, I grew up a Boston fan. Just because, you know, Winnipeg's only played three games on the road, but you know, they're 2-1, so. But I'll take Montreal on that one.
I want to take Montreal, but I think I'm going to take Winnipeg because they have looked. I mean, I think playing at home is a problem because nobody's showing up in Winnipeg, which that's another story to keep an eye on, by the way.
Oh,
attendance problems in the Peg. Oof.
Yeah. Fans are not too happy about those ticket prices.
No.
All right. And just, I knew you wanted a game like this in our lineup here. Why I put this one in. Ottawa at Pittsburgh. Adam, I know you're on board the Ottawa train this season.
I'm upset. So this is the game I would have swapped out for last game of the night. This is the one that I'd make fun of you on. But you just love Ottawa in my... You just wanted to do it. I get it.
Last time we met, I told you I would pick more Ottawa games, and you were all for it.
I took them off the dumpster fire list.
Yes, and you said you were all for it.
Two meddling teams going on right now. I think it's until Ottawa can show they can play better on the road. I'm not sure I'm going to pick them on the road. So this is Pittsburgh at home for me.
Yeah, I'm going same. I can't pick Ottawa right now. But I was trying to do you a favor from our conversation last week. And,
okay.
You know what?
Thank you. I appreciate, I feel listened to. And that's all I want.
Your concerns have been addressed. All right. Game number five. I'm actually really excited about this one. This one to me is almost game of the night if it wasn't for the Boston one.
Yeah.
New York Rangers at the Vancouver Canucks. The
upstart Vancouver Canucks. The
upstart Vancouver Canucks. Who you got?
This is, I'm trying to make sure. Let's see. So they don't. Okay. I want to make sure that New York doesn't play Friday night. That's what I was worried about is where they're coming from. But they are not on a back-to-back, and Vancouver is.
Mm-hmm.
And Vancouver's got to play St. Louis, who they can worry out a bit. St. Louis does have some speed up front. And I think New York getting the rest, I think that's going to help. So I think I'm going to pick is it a little upset? They just dominated Edmonton the way that they dominated Edmonton last night, shutting them out in Edmonton leads me to think that they could handle Vancouver coming off a back-to-back situation for Vancouver.
Okay.
That was deep analysis, by the way.
That was deep analysis. Deep. I like that.
I did my homework, man.
It's not as good as mine. Vancouver, as we stand right now, because they have yet to play tonight, are undefeated at home at 1-0. So I'm going to take Vancouver.
They have not dropped. They're going to be 3-0 at the time of this recording. Yeah.
Okay. They're winning tonight and tomorrow night against the Rangers.
That's an Adam type thing you just did right there.
Right?
You pulled that out. So
I learned.
You didn't want the Vegas Los Angeles thing. Didn't want to touch that game, huh?
I don't know. I as good as LA is playing right now, I still have a hard time seeing them as a truly competitive team. They're off to a hot start, but I don't know.
They're scoring a lot, man. Their offense has been great.
Yeah.
Our offense has been great. That'll be a fun game to watch. I mean, we're not going to pick it, but it'll be a fun game.
No, we're not going to pick it. But yeah, that is going to be a really fun game to watch.
Because we're picking, because Ottawa-Pittsburgh is what you come to expect here on the Bet 99 picks on the first line.
It sure is. Again,
jerseys and Ottawa picks. What else are we known for?
You know what? That's our bread and butter right there.
Okay.
That's our bread and butter. Yeah. All right. Again, if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find us at Pro Hockey News or at PHN Podcast. And if you want to share your picks with us, you can share it using the hashtag PHN Picks.
There you go. Good job, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
Final thoughts on this broadcast. Probably should be award-winning edition.
It should be.
Should be. Of the PHN Podcast. Final thoughts.
I'll submit this for a potty and see what happens. Okay. No, never mind. You know what? A lot going on this week, a lot going on around the world. The only thing I really have to add into any of that, and without going into any specifics into, any particular issue happening around the world. Sports are a great outlet. They're a great way for you to, meet new people, especially if you partake in these sports, and able to grow a network of people, of like-minded people, especially if they enjoy the same things you do. I want to encourage anybody out there who might be coming up with, coming into disagreements with like teammates or close friends, try and sort those out as diplomatically as possible these days, just because what we're seeing going on around the world, a lot of these things can be not necessarily solved, but at least downgraded if we all just talk a little bit more and understand each other a little bit more. So that's my parting thought this week.
Man, that's deep and thoughtful and caring. And my hashtag first world problem I'm going to talk about is going to be so much crappier after that. Yeah, dude.
Follow that, will you?
Wow. Okay. Next time, warn me. We could flip the order, and kind of go out of order how we normally do this.
Right.
Because my first world thought is, in the last day, I have realized how dependent we are on technology, which I think we knew, where my phone crapped out on me. But more so I realized, we all used to have old folds laying around the house, but with all these trade-in plans that all these phone companies and makers of the phones are doing, we don't have that random phone laying around the house anymore to throw a SIM card in and make work. So instead you got to borrow your almost 12-year-old's phone. when you do it. Because yeah, no, my phone crapped out on me yesterday, which is there's the social part of it, right? But also work. Like I depend on my cell phone for work, very work related activities, and can't be without it. And even for 5 days, so not getting a phone till tomorrow. Had to borrow the old daughter's phone. So that's always fun. That was she was very nice about it, I will say. So she's without a phone for a day, which is fine. It's good for an almost 12-year-old. So yeah, technology is great until it doesn't work. That's the moral of the story. It's amazing how dependent we are, but thank God for cloud backups and things like that. Also, I do want to wish a happy birthday to Grace, her birthday coming up on Monday. Not that she's going to listen to this, so she doesn't even know I'm wishing her a happy birthday, but I can put it out there that I am wishing my daughter a happy birthday so she can't ever claim later in life that, you know, I didn't do that.
Yeah, you'll pull this up on our Spotify page and let her know that, yeah, there you go. It's there. It's recorded. Yeah.
I should make her subscribe on her Spotify. I should make. Why are you not doing this?
Right, support us.
Subscribe. Listen to us.
Come on, Grace.
You know you know all three of us. You've broken bread with everybody that does this podcast,
right?
Except for almost everybody. But we don't count Jacob. She doesn't need to break bread with him. She's seen Lou. Lou has seen her grow up from a baby. Lonnie has definitely seen her in her life, and you broke some toasted ravioli with her.
Sure did.
Yeah, you did. Which that place doesn't even exist anymore.
Oh, man.
That's a different owner. They changed the name. Yeah. So, but anyway, that's it. Have fun, folks. Be safe. Enjoy it. Whatever Richard said was amazing. I can't even duplicate what you said. And now I feel so bad about talking about First World. You really killed my closing.
I did. Yeah.
Thank you to our friends at Bet99, FOCO, Manscaped, Chicago Wolf Store, and MyCustomSportsChair.com. Lonnie, keep working the good fight there in your daily job. Hopefully one of these years, one of these weeks, you'll join us. You know, just maybe
if he remembers us. If he remembers us.
Yeah. We miss you. And Richard Cote, this is Adam Minnick saying so long. As this has been another edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast.